News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. Mobile Mornings. A flurry of texts we'll get to after 8:30 this morning. We'll get to all those on Floyd Mayweather,
yep.
Fighting on Manny Pacquiao at the new Cheesecake Factory in Daphne. So that's going to be that'll be opening night. All kinds of stuff on the text line that you're excited about, yeah. And we're always excited to have the text line right there for you.
We are, yeah. 251-343-0106. There were a ton of Cheesecake Factory texts after that last segment, so we'll have to double back and talk some Cheesecake Factory. Yeah. I don't know if he's been into a Cheesecake Factory, but I know he's been in a newsroom, and that is Quinn Hillier, who joins us this Tuesday morning. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So by the way, just to let you know, that there was a fake post?
Yeah, post saying that Cheesecake Factory was coming to Daphne. Turns out it was all a lie, and I'm just here trying to figure out who would lie about that and why. But what happened is we have a ton of texters saying how much they love the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a Cheesecake Factory? Is there one in New Orleans, Quinn?
I don't know if there's one in New Orleans, and I've never been to one.
Okay. We'll add it to the list.
I've survived this far without one.
Quinn, plenty to get into today with you, especially on the federal scene. You know, we have the State of the Union tonight with Trump, and there's plenty that he could discuss. We don't know exactly what he plans to talk about, although I'm sure he's going to start working on getting those midterm votes riled up and hopefully talk about the economy is, I think, what his plan is. But you have today the fourth anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. You have us waiting and seeing what we're going to do with Iran. Mexico has gotten crazy here these last few days. A lot of international issues that Trump could talk about. And then, the tariff ruling on Friday from the Supreme Court.
This is not exactly a peaceful and sort of easygoing world right now, is it?
No, it's not. And even the SCOTUS ruling just at the exact wrong time. For Trump, because of here we go with the State of the Union, with a ruling like that, I know that they were prepared for anything, but he probably would have appreciated it if it would have come out Wednesday. But in any event, he'll have the stage tonight, Quinn.
Well, he will have the stage tonight, and is it too much to ask that some point he acts presidential and doesn't get either angry or partisan or, say things that rile people up. That's what I would like to see. But then again, I'm old school. Look, he can say that compared to the first 3 years of the Biden economy, our economy is doing better. He can say that he has actually handled the Middle East reasonably well, so he has some things that he can talk about, that he can boast about, if he does it in a way that's actually presidential. I just don't want to see both sides getting down into the gutter. I don't want to see the Democrats all wearing one color, white or whatever the heck it is. I don't want to hear them.
Well, I'm reading they may not even show up, Quinn.
I don't know if I would show up if I were they, considering what he has said and done about them. But then again, it sort of started when Nancy Pelosi, stood behind him and literally ripped his speech in half. I mean, both sides need to start acting as if they actually represent the best parts of the American people rather than a bunch of third graders fighting in a mud pile.
So
that's what I'd like to see.
And this is Pelosi's swan song, by the way. This will be her. So I think she'll be there just out of that alone. She'll be in attendance tonight. It will be interesting to see.
You think Trump will hold a moment for her?
Somehow I doubt it.
By the way, I'd like to recognize my dear friend Nancy Pelosi, who is here for the final time.
Well, look, there are some things where even if you don't mean every word of it, it is good for the American public to to see some graciousness. For instance, when Nancy Pelosi first became Speaker way back when George W. Bush was president. So she was the first woman ever to sit in one of those two seats behind the president giving a State of the Union address. W opened this speech by very graciously noting that she was the first woman and leading a round of applause for her. Now, that is, we need a little more of that right now. I mean, that, you know, you had, I mean, it's a myth that Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill were good buddies, but it is true that they paid heed to the convention of bringing out the best at, you know, it's at least in ceremonial
publicly
occasions.
And
you know, and when the chips were down, you know, there was Tip O'Neill at Reagan's bedside when Reagan was shot. There was, you know, when chips were down, they actually meant it. I'd like to see a return to that where, you know, ceremonial occasions actually matter because they set a tone, and we do need to bring this country together.
So now into the fourth year of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and what a quagmire. What do you make of all this? And 4 years ago, none of us saw it all lasting this long, right?
Right. Well, I've got to say, if Biden and Trump had done their jobs, Ukraine might have actually won by now. Both of them have done we'll give you a little, but we won't give you this, but maybe we'll give you this, but not in enough amounts, but you can't use it this way, and you can't fire anything into Russia, not even at legitimate Russian military targets, blah, 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 blah. Look, Ukraine has kept a much bigger country at bay for four solid years, and Ukraine just in the last 10 days has clawed back 100 square miles that Russia had gotten. Ukraine is doing a heck of a job and a righteous job at defending its own sovereignty and its own ability to exist, and we need to take the you know, the whatever you call it, you know, the strings that are holding Ukraine back, and let Ukraine go ahead and really wage this war. And what's his name? Putin is in a box. His economy is doing terribly. He's got a lot of unrest reportedly in the, like, the third level of the Kremlin and among some oligarchs that aren't happy at all. He's actually not in a great position, but we need to let Ukraine be Ukraine.
Yeah, and we've been hearing that for 4 years, though, about Putin being in this terrible position, and it just kind of keeps dragging on. And
the reason it keeps dragging on, my contention is, and lots of other people, including you know, Fred Starr, who y'all won't have heard of, but he's like the premier Russia-ologist in the country. He's from New Orleans. They say all we need to do is take the hampers off that are keeping Ukraine back. And the first thing we can do, and then I'll shut up, but the first thing we can do, and we should have done it 4 years ago, 4 years ago today we should have done it, and that is cut off Russia's access to the SWIFT system, which is the International Financial Exchange. And if they can no longer conduct business through the International Financial Exchange, known as SWIFT, they're kneecapped. And I don't know why we haven't done it, but if we do
that... Well, I think it's obvious, right? The financial system goes both ways. There's other people making money off of it, other very important people who aren't willing to shut it down.
Well, tough. You know, the Russia gets more out of it than the rest of the world gets out of Russia's participation in through SWIFT. If we cut off SWIFT, Ukraine wins. Mm.
I think that, you know, those that live in Europe and the European leaders, let alone the citizens, sometimes I don't say a disregard what they're thinking, but this has got to be, at the very least, a pain in the neck to them to have this kind of warfare going on basically in their backyard.
Yes, indeed. And you know who spoke out the other day is one of the great heroes of the 20th century, Lech Walesa. Maybe you pronounce it technically, Walesa. You know, the guy who led the Solidarity movement in Poland and helped overthrow the Soviet
Union. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he had a very good interview the other day. And, you know, he doesn't see everything one way or another. He's got a European viewpoint. But one thing that he said very, very clearly is that the United States and the rest of the free world needs to be doing more to support Ukraine. He was very strong about that. And, frankly, you know, he does know a little something about Central European politics. I would listen to him.
Let's also talk about the big tariff ruling Friday. And I figured that it would create a more of a ripple in the stock market than it did. And yesterday's stock market didn't have a great day, but they're saying that's from a report on AI and how much it's changing the landscape of things. But as far as the tariff ruling, Bessent and several others, I think Hassett, some of them in the Trump administration, said they have backup plans. They've got these other ways that they can use tariffs, but the ruling on Friday certainly did not do the Trump administration any favors.
No, it didn't. And look, Trump should never have used that IEAPPA or whatever the name of that bill was. He should have tried a different way to impose tariffs in the first place, if he was even going to try to use them unilaterally without Congress, because the Supreme Court is right. You have to put an elephant through the eye of a needle to try to read into that statute the authority that Trump claimed for it.
Is there a statute that they could use?
Well,
legitimately, in your eyes?
Well, the one that he is now using, that he now says he's going to use, my go-to guy, Andy McCarthy, in National Review, says that is also illegal, and he does a good job explaining it. There are third and fourth statutes that give him limited authority, and I can't remember the names of those, but if you go to Andy McCarthy, National Review, you'll see why both the one that was just overturned and the one Trump is using now, both of those are illegitimate uses of power, but that doesn't mean he has no power. He just keeps going to what he's doing is he's going to the ones that he thinks or his people think give him the most power rather than going to the ones that actually are more rooted in the Constitution or law. And if he would go through it the other way and do what is actually legitimate, he would have some reasonable excuses for saying, I have this authority, Congress gave it to me, or Congress gave it to the presidency, and I am using it for these ends. Then basically the whole country would be a lot better, Rod, than fighting over these things where he's trying to claim some kind of vast expansion of presidential authority.
And obviously the problem here, and what it's been forever, is Congress not getting off their butts and working. But I'd like to hear from you, Quinn. I mean, do you think any good came out of Trump using these tariffs as leverage? He reworked some deals. He had plenty of big money come into the United States or announce that they're coming into the United States. Did you see anything good that came from the 12 months of these tariffs?
I saw one or two good things where the leverage actually did open up markets. I saw a lot more damage than I saw good. And it is an absolute fact that, you know, that manufacturing went down again last year. And his whole explanation for using the tariffs is so we can bolster our manufacturing sector. Well, it didn't work. I'm not saying it made it worse.
Well, it wasn't an immediate fix either, right? I mean, it takes some time to ramp it up.
Well, yeah, except that whenever something gets better, whether he had anything to do with it or not, Trump immediately claims credit for it. So you can't say, oh, it has immediate effects here, but it doesn't have immediate effects there. The fact is that so far, A, it has not helped manufacturing because manufacturing is output is actually worse, or jobs are actually worse, and it has hurt our ports, including the port of Mobile. So I think on balance, it has not been good, although, yes, you can point – I forget which countries, but there are a couple of them that really were, having barriers to buying our products, and they dropped those barriers. And that is a good thing. But he didn't need to do the big, massive across-the-board tariffs in order to force those countries to do that. He needed to be targeted.
Quinn, we'll get a little more, local, because there's a SCOTUS decision coming about Louisiana that I know you wanted to talk about. So we'll do that after the break, okay?
Okay.
More Quinn Hillier on the way, 251-343-0106, if you want to jump on the text line.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Quinn Hillier.
Yeah, and Quinn, as we head towards midterms and the next presidential, just a couple years away, I don't understand where things stand these days with these congressional districts. It seems every other day I'm reading Utah, and give the Dems another seat, California, Texas, all of these states redistricting, and I know Alabama was the big story a couple years ago. I don't know how many of these are going to hold, what it all means, but Louisiana seems to be the case most people are focused on right now.
Well, yeah, and Louisiana is a bit different from the other things you're talking about, because those are legislators trying to stack the deck in the middle of a decade, whereas Louisiana, you're actually talking Supreme Court cases about what is legal and or constitutional and what is not. And the reason we should care about it in Alabama is because the Louisiana case is very similar to the Alabama case where the Supreme Court basically screwed us over. And so that, you know, I'm sitting in one part of Mobile, and less than a mile away from me, somebody has a different congressman, a congressman that represents all the way to the Georgia state line, Barry Moore, who basically nobody in Mobile even knew before he ran. He's got Barry Moore as a congressman, and I have Shamari Figures as a congressman. And we only live half a mile apart. They cut Mobile County right down the middle, and they doing it all for racial reasons. Well, there's a very similar case in Louisiana, and it's absolutely crucial, and I think the decision will probably come down either today or tomorrow. And in Louisiana, you've got this crazy district. I've described
it. Yeah, that was a wild one.
I've described it in various ways. I've described it as somebody chasing E.T. I've described it as a construction crane on its side with a backache. I mean, it's just bizarre. It stretches from East Baton Rouge all the way up to the Texas and Arkansas state lines in the northwest corner. This is because the Supreme Court has made a mess of this jurisprudence, and they will not speak clearly. Well, now they have another chance to speak clearly because the Louisiana lines are so crazy. We don't know what they are going to do today, but it's well worth watching, because if they finally speak clearly this time, then Alabama might be able to draw district lines in 2030 that actually make sense.
Yeah.
And we would be back to having Mobile County as a whole, which is something we should very much want.
Yep.
And it would be better for all of us. So that's why it's worth watching this case today.
And didn't in our last appeal, didn't the judge basically throw us on probation and say quit asking? So I don't know what that means.
Yes, which is why I said after 2030, okay, because the judge said you can't keep going back this decade, but if the Supreme Court rules in a certain way today, then after the 2030 census, we can finally get it right.
Thanks, Quinn, for your time again, and we'll talk again in 1 week.
Okay, thanks.
QuinnHillier.com, The Advocate, NOLA. A lot of texts about Quinn's visit. We'll try to get to some of those. 251-343-0106 and a lot more on the way. FM Talk 106.5. We have a lot of texts to get to, some other stories. I know Dan wants to make fun of Gavin Newsom a little bit. We'll try to get to that.
Well, Gavin Newsom makes fun of himself and an entire race of people.
Oh, did he?
Wow. Don't miss it.
Okay, I can't wait. Let me tell you about our good friends at Tobias and Comer Law, the experienced personal injury lawyers who've been serving Mobile and the areas around us for a long time with compassion and a track record of success. They make things right for their clients at Tobias and Comer Law and work each client's case personally from start to finish. At Tobias and Comer, they've handled hundreds of personal injury cases and their combined 70 years of experience and have recovered millions of dollars for their clients. So let them put their expertise to work for you. And as you know, personal injuries can occur virtually anywhere, whether it's defective products, dangerous surroundings, truck or car accidents, alcohol and drug-related injuries. Dan and I read far too often about those, maritime injuries, workplace accidents, or other negligence. And if you have the misfortune of being involved in a serious accident, document as much as possible and contact one of the attorneys at Tobias and Comer Law immediately. It's very important. Their number for a free consultation anytime, 251-432-5001, or check out their website, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Yeah, to the text line. Boy, it was humming here from Manny Pacquiao to Quinn Hillier to
Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory. False alarms. Manufacturing, the unnamed texture says manufacturing was still going down as it had been with the previous administration last year. It takes more than 1 year to bring the manufacturing back to the U.S. And I would agree with
that.
What
do you mean? They can't just build a big manufacturing plant in 8 months and have it ripping and roaring immediately?
Yeah. I didn't.
How long has Novellas been in the works here?
Quinn taking Trump to task for the lack of manufacturing when what he's done is, I think he's laid the groundwork for a lot of manufacturing to return. It hasn't done it just yet, but I mean, that's the kind of thing about, that's a long-term proposition and a long-term goal. So I know that, you know, Trump being Trump, yeah, he's going to take credit. Maybe he wasn't necessarily the party that created the good news, but he's the president, and that's Trump, and that's the way I'm not excusing it. But then to take that kind of thing that Trump does, and then you know better than him and at his worst behavior if you do the same thing and try to lump a lack of manufacturing success in the first 6 months on him.
Yeah, I mean, and I've said it before, and you probably shouldn't say this as the host of a show. So much of this tariff talk just goes over my head, you know, and I do my best to kind of keep up with it. But the way I understand it and the way I feel about things is that the system we had and the way we had been using that system wasn't working, or it quit working somewhere along the way. And there's too many members of Congress who are in on the take, too many people who are making money as their country falls apart and people lose their jobs and those jobs get outsourced and sent overseas. Sometimes something's going wrong and you don't know exactly how to fix it, but you know that things are going wrong.
Right.
And so when someone says they're going to try to fix it, I think it's nice to give them some grace and let them try to work it out. And these tariffs seem to be working the way that Trump had said they would. I know so many people complain and they say, well, it's the consumers who end up paying the tariffs. The importers pay it and then they put it in the price and then you end up paying for it in the long run. Well, that may very well be the case, but we had already seen the price of our groceries and gas and so many things we purchase daily just rise so quickly these last 4 or 5 years through inflation.
It's we're almost numb to it, but you're paying the bills. You're not numb to it because you're doing a little math every time you have that automatic debit or you go to the grocery store or whatever. You're like, man.
In some things, the price is still insane. You look at beef. And I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal the other day. That's not going to get any better anytime soon, I don't think. The cow supply in the United States just isn't where it needs to be. Eggs, remember, that was like the main thing that people were hammering Trump on the first month or two. There were these accounts keeping up daily with the price of eggs. Well, that's gone way down. Trump administration did a pretty good job with that. Look at the price of gas. So everyone tries to have the checkmate when you're talking economics, and I don't think there's a checkmate out there. The way that Trump was using the tariffs as leverage against countries that clearly had been, you know, taking advantage of us for years and years and years, and more or less admitted to it by reworking a lot of those deals, a lot of those trade deals, seemed to me like it was working pretty well. Now, whether it was constitutional or not, the Supreme Court says it's not, but the part I have the biggest problem with are the folks taking the victory lap on this and like happy that this all fell apart because they just don't like Trump, it seems.
So, it seems to be breaking news. A lot of people don't like Trump.
Yeah,
like,
wouldn't you want your country to succeed anyway, though?
I know. And so, but that's, that's not the feeling of a lot of Americans.
So we'll see tonight. I don't know how much he'll talk about the tariffs. I know he'll probably talk about the economy and the State of the Union, whether tariffs are part of that conversation or not, to try to tell people, hey, things are on the right track.
Well, he'll point out the best things of the economy right now. A lot of people say they're not feeling it. You get these polls come out and they're so, it's not, a lot of these polls are not about facts, they're about feelings. Like Americans are feeling anxious about the economy. Yeah, 61% or whatever. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it means something in the fact that the way Americans feel will probably dictate the way that they behave. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to buy a new car or whatever because they're feeling anxious. But I would rather be face to face with actual facts and trends than the feelings of Americans.
I got some calls coming in. We'll try to get to those. 251-343-0106. We'll get someone with you immediately. Bucky says, I hate to admit it. He says, and this is just between you and me. Sorry, Bucky. He says he doesn't like hearing Quinn on the radio on Tuesdays. Okay, noted. And you're not the only person who has said that, Bucky.
Keith. Well, I can tell you that because there's about 12 to 15 similar in tone and in content right after Bucky's.
Chris says the absolute, we were talking Cheesecake Factory and that prank someone was, I don't know, was it a prank that went viral online saying the Cheesecake Factory was coming to Daphne?
Yeah, somebody who never won a spelling bee posted something online saying they were a representative of said Cheesecake Factory.
And so GulfCoastMedia.com, which does great work if you haven't gone to their site. They're more focused on the beach in Baldwin County, but GCM. And they looked into it. They said no Cheesecake Factory coming to Daphne, no plans for a Cheesecake Factory to even come to Baldwin County. Chris from Orange Beach said the absolute best cheesecake is Hope's Cheesecake in Gulf Shores.
Oh.
He also said, we need a bumper sticker made that says, Dr. Bill says, if you don't like our weather, just stick around because it's sure going to change. Mm. And then Chris asking my thoughts on Pure Talk. That is one thing I have no opinion on, Chris. Pure Talk, is that the micro? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
Micro, yes.
Have not used it. No opinion. Rock and Roll Doctor says, I drive by Fish River Weeks Bay about every day, and the fact that Jerry Carl is beating his chest saying, look how great I am for spending federal money. We don't have to build a bike path between Fish River and Magnolia Springs that few, if any, will use is completely asinine. This is why we are broke, have huge inflation, and distrust our politicians. Rock and Roll Doctor says Jerry Carl is spending money for votes in Baldwin, and it is destroying our dollar. So Rock and Roll Doctor out on a vendetta against Jerry Carl this morning. Another text here, Jason says, Dalton, nice job trying with Quinn, but he's just not able to admit the number of wars negotiated by Trump via the tariffs and what a success that is. That I wanted to bring that up, too. We were kind of running out of time there, but for the, and I don't know how many wars Trump insists he's ended now.
Well,
it was eight for a while, may have been nine at some point.
I was going with Mickey Mantle. I was going with seven.
Seven.
Lucky number seven, but he's done.
He used that as leverage.
Yeah, I mean, you can't avoid. Again, there we go. Give me some facts, not the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what the accomplishments are or are not. And I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
he was definitely using tariffs as a threat for some of these countries who are going to war or close to going to war. And he said, hey, if you go through with this, we're going to tax the ever-living hell out
That's
of you.
True. That's true.
So don't do it. Another texter, Ultra Runner, says, did Quibbling Quinn just say that if Trump had done the right thing, Ukraine would have won by now? Delusional. I'm surprised, and maybe there are commentators out there who argue that we should have just nuked Russia to start with. Why not just nuke them? Then we wouldn't even be talking about this war. We'd be talking about nuclear annihilation, but at least Russia wouldn't be part of the war anymore. It's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, right? Like what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And look at Europe. I mean, they've had plenty of opportunities, too, to take the bull by the horns and lead Ukraine into a better environment for them to perform well against Russia, but Europe hadn't really done that either. They're just kind of waiting on the United States to do everything.
If you don't, if you don't have any teeth, it's hard to eat the cheesecake.
Wise man once said that.
Yeah, right. Well, man wiser than me, and it came out better than that. But the point is, with Europe, they put themselves in a position where they were not going to be of any help to anything like that happening, because they just weakened themselves to and globalized themselves, and now they find themselves where they are, which is more than ever dependent on the U.S., but it sounds like their plan is to kind of get their stuff together in terms of defense, and that's what Trump and Vance have told them to do. And then, of course, in a much nicer way, Rubio
this last
pretty
week
much said the same thing in Germany.
Texture here says manufacturing was still going down as it had been with the previous administration last year. It takes more than 1 year to bring it back to the U.S., and It's very clear that Trump's plan is working. Quinn is dead wrong. Every time he speaks about Trump, I really don't understand why he's on your show. Well, he's on every Tuesday, and it's, I think, good to hear from the other side, you know, and there's a lot of sides. Quinn, one who really just doesn't like Trump, and he's made that clear. But he, I think, comes with some good talking points sometimes.
Well, and
it's good to hear.
He's been around a long time. I mean, so he sees things through a certain political perspective that, for instance, I wouldn't have, because I haven't been involved in following politics closely like he has for all those years.
Trace says there's a cheesecake factory in Birmingham at the summit. Yeah, several of you saying the Birmingham Cheesecake Factory is a popular one. Cheese Wagon says there's a cheesecake factory in Metairie, so you have that. One in Birmingham, very good Cajun pasta. This has turned into a cheesecake factory love fest here. Summerdale Tony says, well, okay. He said, I agree with Paul Feinbaum. I think Alabama plays better without Bediako.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too. Dan and I were talking about that off the air. And then
he
says,
six straight with Adam, right?
Yeah, they've gone on quite the streak. I think they were 3-2 with him playing.
Uh-huh.
Another texter says, well, hopefully the fight with Pacquiao, this is Summerdale Tony, well, hopefully the fight with Pacquiao will be a real boxing match and not a staged event like these other ones with Tyson and that social media guy, can't even think of his name. That's Jake Paul you're thinking
Jake
about
Paul,
there.
Yes.
No, I don't think the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight is going to be good in any sense when they finally get after it in September at the Las Vegas Sphere. I mean, they're already light guys. They weren't exactly going to knock each other out 11 years ago when they fought in the fight of the century that ended up being a big bust.
That was kind of a bore fest.
$411 million made in that pay-per-view, but it was very boring because that's Mayweather's style.
Right.
He's not getting hit.
Exactly. I mean, he's tactician, whatever you're going to call him, but as far as he's been able to carve out the safest boxing career for somebody 49
years old. Yeah, almost as many years old as he has wins, 50-0.
Wow.
But he plotted that career out really well, and but the only reason I'll be watching is because it's on Netflix and I have a Netflix account, so whenever that comes around. But yeah, I'm not expecting it to be a good fight.
You know, at some point you're 49 and 47, it's two guys in the Piggly Wiggly's parking lot. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, you do a little dust up. Hey, buddy, you know, you don't have to fight each other.
Let's go to the phones quickly and talk with Joel from Summerdale. Good morning, Joel.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I think I heard something vaguely the other night on, I don't know, one of the news stations. Wasn't the tariffs designed back in the day to help the Europe nations to rebuild from the war they had? I believe it was like World War II or something like that.
Well, the tariffs were originally, I believe the first tariffs, and I could be sorely wrong on this, Joel, but back around 1912 or something like that, I don't remember.
That's right.
I don't remember the exact.
It was back far enough, but what they were saying, the tariffs should have been ended and redesigned or renegotiate it back in the 60s. This is how, and Trump did that. He changed the whole face of the tariffs negotiation of America getting screwed so bad for so many decades. And everybody, of course, including Quinn, it's just the worst thing ever. Oh,
yeah,
God, it's the worst thing ever.
I think tariffs were used a lot very early. And then after World War II, when America was trying to kind of rebuild the world, I think they really dropped tariffs is kind of how that whole thing went. And then you got a little more protectionist over the years.
That's exactly right. And like I said, they said the tariffs should have been renegotiated years ago, and nobody had ever stepped up to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
America's been getting screwed for years and years and years.
Yeah, Joel.
So I don't know. Who knows?
Thanks for your
y'all
call,
have
though.
A great day.
Yeah, well, we can sense the exasperation in your voice being upset with that. I want to get to this Gavin Newsom real quick.
Let's do it.
So Gavin Newsom, who would like to someday himself have his own State of the Union address because he wants to be president.
Yeah.
He's speaking to a group of black voters in Atlanta, I believe, or in the state of Georgia. He's at this forum. It's just a one-on-one thing. And this is, he's trying to sound like I'm one of you, but it comes off all wrong. Listen.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. And, you know, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got 940. But literally a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech. Maybe the wrong business to be in.
He can't. See, he's getting pretty uncomfortable because I think he was recognizing the fact that he really went down. He was trying to connect, and what he did was he assumed the people in that audience have the same score or disability that he has.
Mm-hmm.
He's addressing an audience of black voters.
Is it an audience of black voters? Because I've seen kind of the response from Newsom and from his defenders was that it wasn't really a black room, so that the whole racist, you know, allegations weren't necessarily true.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, the interviewer was black.
Mm-hmm.
So just take that aside where he's saying, you know, I'm like you, whatever. If he's not talking to the audience, who's he talking to that I'm like you? I'm dumb just like you.
Yeah.
Who is he saying and assuming is stupid with a less than 1,000 SAT? And
I had to look it up because, you know, being from Grove Hill, I took the ACT, not the SAT.
Yeah.
I'm sure many of you did take the SAT. So the equivalent for the SAT, 960, is that what he said he made in the SAT?
Yes.
Would be an 18 on the ACT. So that's kind of right there. I don't know if it's the threshold to get you into college still, but when I was applying, 18 was kind of the baseline to get into a lot of these state schools, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh.
So it'd be right. I'd say that's probably on the average right there, which is exactly what you would expect a politician like Gavin Newsom to say, that he was perfectly average, just like you.
Just like you.
I never knew he was dyslexic.
Yeah, I've heard that before. He's played that card. But I just don't know. Okay, so if it was not, I saw one commentator was describing it that as it was a predominantly black audience. You were saying it wasn't, but it seemed to me that...
No, I'm not sure if it was.
Right,
that was
right.
Their response.
And so I'm just going on the reports. I didn't see the audience, but it's just interesting that he would talk about a disability. He's never read a speech in his life because he simply cannot. More power to you. You've gone a long way with having that disability, but that just tells me more of the politician that you are. I'm not as impressed by that as I am alarmed by that.
Yeah.
That the state of California would elect somebody with such severe disabilities.
Jeez.
I don't know if it's, you know, feather in your cap or what. He tried to wear it that way, and I think it was... Yeah, I'm dumb just like you.
He's such a slimeball, obviously. But I think the Democrats are passing him up. You look at the response tonight, the Virginia governor, Spanberger.
Yep.
You had Ossoff, who they wouldn't quit raving about, the Georgia senator who had a speech a couple weeks ago. They're looking for somebody to run.
You might be right.
And they're not looking at Newsom or Kamala Harris. They're looking for somebody else.
854, Dan and Dalton.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Here we are. The kings of the SAT. Dan and Dalton.
Kings of Cheesecake Factory.
The kings of Cheesecake
Factory. Wolverine. He said insecure people want these brands like Cheesecake Factory and Trader Joe's just to feel trendy. Their desire to fit in and not be perceived as small-town bumpkins never ends. They wanted Mobile to get Dave & Buster's. They wanted Whole Foods and P.F. Chang's, and those two left. Yes, we did see Whole Foods and P.F. Chang's leave, but Dave & Buster's still there. Like, and, you know, I thought the same thing about Aldi, and now look at me. I'm a
Aldi guy,
card-carrying,
right?
Aldi guy.
Yeah.
As much as Dan hates the whole thought of putting a quarter in to get the shopping cart out.
I think they should.
I like it because it keeps the riffraff like Dan out of my Aldi.
I think they should board it up and build a tasty freeze. Something very small town.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, former congressman and AL1 candidate Jerry Carl. So who was it? Rock and Roll Doctor, who was very upset with Jerry earlier. Your chance to listen to him, Rock and Roll Doctor. Travis Johnson with the Pathway Church in hour number two. And Will Hampson joins Jeff to talk politics in hour number three.
Will Hampson works for
P2 Public Affairs.
Yeah, political affairs company. And those companies are going to get pretty busy pretty quick here with the May primaries coming up. And they're big time in Alabama. That's almost the elections you have to pay closest attention to.
And Hampson, I believe he was in Nancy Mace's office for a while there.
You're telling me that.
Yeah, and he left her office. And so I really love hearing him on the Jeff Poor Show. Gives some good commentary. I guess we still don't know what hospital ship Trump was talking about sending to Greenland. And it was confirmed both of the Navy's medical ships, hospital ships, are here in Mobile. USNS Comfort and USNS Mercy. And Navy says they haven't been, you know, told to do anything about this. But Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry, who is the Greenland... what's it called? He's the guy.
Kind of an envoy for them?
Yeah, kind of the envoy for us to Greenland. He says, listen, the medical care in Greenland is actually terrible right now.
I bet.
And we do need to go help them. So Greenland's pushing back. I don't know. I do know that both of our hospital ships are right here in Mobile, so they're not sending those.
8:59, Jeff Poor is on the way next.